I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm making plays, bro.
Is it study or is it or was it just right place, right time?
I don't know. I think it's just make plays, bro.
hey, ain't no other way to put it. Simple and plain. I make plays. One thing about me, I make plays too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like, I do the studying and all that stuff, but I don't know. I just always make plays.
You spontaneous and instant.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Bradley Roby with Snoop Dogg. Going around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Jadeveon Clowney. We thought he was going to be a Titan. We thought maybe he could be a Cleveland Brown. But the Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints apparently in the mix. Here is Tony Pauline of the NFL Draft Insiders podcast talking about where number 90 could end up in 2020.
Where does Clowney want to play? What's his preference, and where would he like to end up?
Team that immediately comes to mind is the Tennessee Titans, but I was told the two teams on top of Clowney's list as far as where he would like to end up are the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints, and he would definitely help both of those teams. I don't know that they want him. I know that Clowney wouldn't mind ending up with either the Cowboys or the Saints from what I'm told.
Pauline was on in San Antonio, and he said that this was his opinion. This wasn't anything coming out of Clowney's camp, which I think it's important to grab the context before the internet starts reacting. He said that Clowney going to the Cowboys would be almost a way to stick it to the Texans. Does that have anything to do with the Texans, Clowney potentially going to Dallas? How do you even connect those two things?
I want him to go to Dallas. Now, I don't want him to go to Dallas as a fan necessarily, because I don't like more as a hater than a fan, because I don't like the Cowboys. But as a Texans fan, I don't want him in the AFC. Get him out of here. Especially, put him in the NFC.
Especially in the division. I think he still ends up in Tennessee. I don't know where the these could be leaks. It could be coming out of Clowney's camp. You predict that you think Clowney's going to sign this week. You think a deal will be made. Clowney will be ready to go. I think he needs to be in camp. He's missed camp the last 2 years. Health 2 years ago. Last year, because of the franchise tag standoff between he and the Texans, he admitted himself 2 years ago that he was a little bit behind because he was not in camp and he was not getting that work in. Based on that, and based on the fact he's not going to get that hefty contract, he needs to be in a camp, because it's really not too late for Clowney to get paid. He needs to be in a camp. He needs to be ready to go, which means he needs to sign sooner rather than later.
I think they all feel that way. All the big names. Well, all the free agents, to be honest. But Clowney especially. We'll start with him because of what you said. And not only that, no real offseason in the building. And he doesn't have a building right now. But no real offseason for any team. He needs to be in camp. But I think this is the week. I think people need to, obviously, we hope, listen to us every day. Listen to our station every day. Because I think Clowney's going to sign this week. I think Kaepernick is going to sign this week. Yes, that Kaepernick. I think Eric Reed. I think
a
lot
the
of these
Kaepernick.
Free. I thought it. I think that it was Blake Kaepernick. No, I think all these free. This is the week. It's June 29th. That's less than a month officially to when training camps start. So they have to do it. I think this is the week when it happens, and I think Cam Newton broke the seal on that.
We're gonna see what happens. Keep it locked here again. A lot going on. You just mentioned Cam Newton. We'll get into that at 120, because you got the loopholes going nuts with one of your opinions. I don't think it's as crazy as many do, but we'll get into that. Patriots above the Texans now with the signing of Cam Newton. We're 73 days away from the season. I'm going to just present this because we got ESPN on the screen here in the studio, and I'm just going to present a bottom line breaking news piece of information that ESPN thought was relevant. And I want you to please react. Give me your reaction to this breaking news, quote, quote, that ESPN is putting out there. Here we go, Figgy. Breaking news here to Sports Radio 610. Johnny Manziel, former Heisman Trophy winner, tells the Lubbock Avalanche Journal that his football career is a thing of the past.
I'll turn up for you, bitch.
Go to sportsradio610.com. Johnny Football, lifelong Texas A&M Aggie, just like yourself, his football career is over, and apparently that is breaking news. That is one of the top headlines on ESPN.
Get out. You are kidding me. Why aren't we doing 4 hours on this? I mean, it's incredible. Come on, man. I mean, by the way, the Lubbock Avalanche Journal hadn't gotten this much attention since Buddy Holly. I mean, it's crazy that
since,
this is
since
happening.
Mike Leach put Craig James's son in the
Yeah. This is the biggest non-story ever. Who thought Johnny Manziel was going to – did it come down to Johnny Manziel and Cam Newton, you know, for Bill Belichick? What is going on here?
That's when you know you're a badass, though, man. I mean, the dude –
when you make it officially official.
No, I mean, the dude's skinny fat. Who knows how many Oxycontins he's snorted in the last 3 years. He hasn't been in the NFL in years. Really didn't look very great. In the AFL, everybody already knows Johnny Manziel's done. But there it is right there. Manziel says, football career, quote, a thing of the past. Quote, I'm trying to achieve happiness in life, not dot, dot, dots, on the football field. That is the quote.
All
but
right.
you know you were a headline-generating mofo. When
he still is.
When that is still put on ESPN, and it'd be one thing like a couple weeks ago, like if we're in the middle of the quarantine, we don't know if baseball's going to happen, we really don't know if basketball's going to happen, there's not much going on, there's no live sports. It'd be one thing for that to have been a forced headline then. The Patriots just got popped with cheating. They're fined $1.1 million in a third-round pick for their television crew broadcasting the Bengals last year. Cam Newton just signed. The NBA schedule just came out. Spring training is about to begin. You don't know where Jamal Adams is going to end up. You still got the guys that you mentioned in the NFL waiting to sign. And Johnny Football's football career being over still generates a headline on ESPN.
I'll turn up on your bitch ass.
I mean, that tells you how big of a like you said, a headline grabber, you know, a newsmaker he was. He basically did the same thing he's done every day for the last several months. He just kind of said that in passing to the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. And it's trending nationally. Johnny Manziel is trending nationally right now. What is going on?
I have no idea.
That's nuts.
Going around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. The NFL, they handed down the penalty, as I mentioned, to the Patriots following the investigation of the filming of the Bengals sideline. $1.1 million fine. Loss of a third-round draft pick next year, and the team production crews can't film games this upcoming season. Another punishment in the tradition slash history of the New England Patriots getting caught cheating in the NFL.
Like, this is more a repeat offender, you know, penalty than anything. What they did really wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't right, and it should have been penalized, but it really wasn't that bad. I mean, they filmed the opposing sideline while they're watching a game from their crew. All right, no big deal. That's a third-round pick and over $1 million in fines and everything else that they're doing. I think this was just the NFL saying, look, guys, you know, you got caught with public intoxication once, and you signed you had a fine. You do it twice, three times, you're going to jail. So that's all this is.
Why is it that the NFL can just put this out smooth. Here's the punishment. Here you go, Patriots. The end. But baseball, it was a whole drawn-out thing with the Astros. I mean, I felt like Rob Manfred was doing a freaking press conference every day. And there were all these leaks coming out. And I get, obviously, it was a little bit higher scale.
More severe.
But I mean, damn. Like, I had completely forgotten about this. You drop the hammer. The end. It almost felt like, and I think Manfred even, according to some people, said, you know, this is going to be his Watergate. This is going to be Manfred's legacy. It did almost feel like that while I don't have any issue with the Astros' punishment, I think it's fine. I think they deserved it. I think they deserved what they had coming. It did seem like there was a certain degree of clout chasing that was accompanied by Rob Manfred's negotiation against the Astros that I think, I don't think he got what he hoped that he was going to get from it. I don't think that people look at Rob Manfred as some sort of hero right now. As a matter of fact, I think the one thing that baseball fans can agree on is that guy's a buffoon and a moron. And I also think it hurt the Astros, the fact that he was clout chasing while he was trying to put out this punishment. So I don't think anybody really won from the way he handled it. And the NFL just drops this out there, and it's like, okay, there it is, boom, bada bing, let's move on.
I think most commissioners are always looking for that legacy moment, right? Whether it's, you know, integrating baseball, you know, or the steroid era, how you react to that. I think he was looking for his legacy moment, and he probably got it, to be honest. I mean, you know, he's the guy that's going to end or at least try to end, you know, this type of cheating in baseball.
713-572-4610 to get in. 9008, you knew this was coming. Clowney's ass has never been signed to his self-deserving $22, $23 million contract in 2 full years of being in Seattle, plus a current free agent. Who cares? It's been 2 full years, folks. Clowney, not $22, $23 million annual player. Can we like rewind or something like that? I know the radio.com app rewinds. 9008. Matter of fact, I'll take you to the restaurant of your choice. No, there is no budget. The restaurant of your choice. We'll go in the OG's weight class. If you can show me where in the hell in the last 3 hours and 11 minutes anyone said Clowney was a $22 million player.
Yeah.
Not going to find
nobody.
It. Spoiler alert. No. Not going to find it. It's not going to happen, J-Lo. I don't understand why anyone that watched Jadeveon Clowney here could not appreciate what Jadeveon Clowney brings to the table. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you could watch Jadeveon Clowney play for the Houston Texans and minimize what he does.
Right.
I could see you looking at the box score and looking at the stats afterwards if you don't have to watch him play every single day. But if you watch that guy every Sunday for the time when he was here, whether JJ was on the field or not, when he was out there, and you can minimize the impact that guy has on a defense, you need to get your eyes checked. You either need LASIK, you need glasses, or you just need to, you need to grasp an appreciation of what the guy did. Because that guy is a difference maker. I don't care what the box score says.
I think Jadeveon Clowney is like a perfect example of, he doesn't quite fit the mold of players that people can universally get behind. You know, because he's an affable guy, pretty laid back. That's the first part of it. He's not that intense, you know, flipping tires and all this other stuff. You know, he doesn't post those videos. You know, he tells people to have a nice day, you know, and not that he loves them. So
love
he's not
you guys,
quite
man.
Like
y'all
Mr.
Have a good day, man. Enjoy yourself.
He's exactly. He's not exactly like Mr. Football. That's the first part. And the second part is even more obvious. Sacks. Sacks, sacks, sacks. It's gets stacks. It gets the girls. It's coach's attention. He's a dominant player that is going to get paid a lot of money and has been paid a lot of money, but he doesn't get the sacks.
Sacks get stacks. J.D. Clowney, we'll see where he ends up. J-Lo is predicting he's going to be signed this week. Speaking of this week, this weekend, Zeke Elliott forgot to turn off his stream. sound clip of the weekend here on In the Loop as we wrap up around the NFL.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Are you?
Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet.
Well, you ended it, and now you went viral.
Let me tell you how faded I am.
You ended it, and you went viral. Good job. Congratulations to you, Zeke Elliott. That's around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Cam Newton, a healthy Cam Newton to the New England Patriots means the Patriots are better than the Houston Texans. That's what John Lopez says next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Watson approaches the line of scrimmage, takes a knee. It is over. The Texans take down Goliath. They beat the Patriots for only the second time in franchise history. 28-22.
That was last year. Texans beat the Patriots. Down goes Goliath. Thought that might have been a little bit over the top, but it is what it is. Patriots, different team now. No Tom Brady. They just added Cam Newton. Texans different as well. DJ Reader, huge game that night. He gone. DeAndre Hopkins, all the attention from the New England defense and the flip to Deshaun Watson on one of the most exciting plays of the year. He gone, in case you didn't already know. Things changing for both sides. But the OG John Lopez says, because of the most recent change, Cam Newton joining the New England Patriots. If he's healthy, are the New England Patriots with Cam Newton better than the Houston Texans?
I mean, the operative thing is if he's healthy. If Cam Newton is healthy, I don't even see where anyone could make a solid argument that the Texans would be a better team than the Patriots. You could easily argue, and I'll be right there with you, that even a healthy Cam Newton at this point, at his age, if he's healthy, Deshaun Watson's a better quarterback. You could maybe argue that the receiver position is a push, but you can't argue anything else. If Cam Newton is healthy, he's in the same neighborhood as Deshaun Watson in terms of what he can produce on a football field. Patriots have a better head coach. They have a better defense. They have a better running game. They have a better scheme that has been proven. There's no way you can say if, and that's the operative word, he's healthy, that the Patriots are not better than the Houston Texans.
I just don't. I think it's close, but I don't even think it's about the offenses. I think it's about the defense. And New England have one of the best defenses in the league right now, last year. They have the best defensive mind in the history of the game. Overseeing things, and the Texans defense was one of the worst last year, dead last in third down and red zone defense. They lost DJ Reader, who was a big factor in that game against New England. I just think the defense is what separates this, and I think the Texans' advantage offensively, I think it's going to be a closer gap than the one between the New England defense and the Houston Texans defense. And that's why, you know, I'm not here to say that I think without a doubt New England, even with a healthy Cam Newton, is better than the Texans, but I think it's extremely close. And I think when we lay out the tiers of the AFC, I think Baltimore and Kansas City are above everyone else. And then you have that tier two where you put Tennessee, maybe the Texans, the Patriots, maybe the Colts, and everyone else right there. I think they're in the same tier at the very least. I don't think it's outlandish to say that the Pats would be better than the Texans.
No, they would be. Just head coach alone. Because you can say, all right, well, we think Deshaun Watson is better than a healthy Cam Newton at this point, which is a bold statement, by the way. I mean, that's you're talking about an MVP, but, of course, Deshaun Watson has MVP characteristics. He just hadn't done it yet. So, okay, I'll give you that. You can say that. You can't even say that Bill O'Brien is in the same hemisphere as Bill Belichick. You can't say this defense is in the same hemisphere as the Patriots defense. You just can't do it.
It's not even in the same ballpark. And I don't know if this Texans offense picks it up, I don't know how bad this defense is going to be. I think this could very well be one of the worst Texans defenses that we've seen in a long, long time. And I don't count 2017. 2017, when they were last in the league, I don't count that because everyone was hurt. JJ was hurt. Whitney was hurt. They ended up with damn near 50 guys on injured reserve. I don't count that. But you lose DJ Reader. JJ is great when JJ's in the lineup, but can you rely on that? No one really on the defensive line that really excites you. I mean, I think a Minnehu could maybe take that next step, but we don't know what to expect from a Minnehu. You brought in Timmy Jernigan. Timmy Jernigan, that didn't last. Timmy Jernigan's on the streets. Zach Cunningham, I think you feel good about. But other than that, you're very thin at cornerback. Bradley Roby's now expected to be a number one cornerback after you paid him. And you have a safety position where, despite the fact they paid a guy $6 million in Eric Murray, and you have Justin Reed, you don't feel good about the safety position. So I get you know, the optimism everybody has it heading into 2020, but I just don't know how you can look at this Texans defense and say, man, this defense, the arrow is pointing up, and if the arrow is not pointing up, how much worse can you really get defensively if you're the Texans? And then you also got to take into account the teams they're going to be playing. The schedule is going to be tough. You're starting out against the two best offenses in the league. This defense could be a serious problem. So I'm not even sure that, even without Cam Newton, that New England wouldn't have still been in somewhat the same tier as the Texans.
Well, they were kind of. If you look at the odds makers anyway, I think they were maybe 10, you know, like one spot behind the Texans in terms of that. That's like even the odds makers are saying that. And I feel like people are forgetting and kind of out of sight, out of mind. And I know he's got a shoulder injury, and that is terrifying for any team when your quarterback has a shoulder injury, because we know that it affects everything. He's probably had to change his motion, you know, his approach, all that stuff. I'm saying, if he's close, Cam Newton, I mean, would you rather have him or Jarrett Stidham? I mean, it's not even close.
And the other thing, and I think this is just interesting. We keep hearing about you hear about the speed on the Texans offense, and that's fine. I mean, you stack up the Texans offensive personnel versus New England's offensive personnel. I think that's a weird strategy because they're not going to be on the same field at the same time. But what does talent on offense matter if you don't have a coaching staff or you don't have a guy calling plays that can maximize it? Like the Texans offense last year, they averaged, despite the fact they added three new starters on the offensive line, despite the fact they added Duke Johnson, and despite the fact they added Kenny Stills, they averaged a point and a half less, the exact same amount of total yards, the exact same amount of passing yards, and one less rushing yard. And oh, by the way, you played better defenses the year before.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, with all this personnel, you can list all the personnel. Who do you think is going to maximize their talent better? Do you trust Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly to maximize their what you consider superior talent? Or do you trust Josh McDaniels to put Cam Newton, James White, Sony Michel, Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu in better position? It's one thing to line up guys on paper, but if you don't have the coaches who are going to maximize that talent, it doesn't matter. It's a moot point when it comes to it, John.
And even it is, but even if you you want to just say it's a push, you know, you're both right. Now, well, I know you agree with me, but let's say you were on the other side, or for those who are on the other side of our point here, let's assume we're both right. Both sides are right, that it's just a push or whatever. It's just got a lot tougher, no matter how you look at it, because it went from, yes, the Texans are better than the Patriots, to either the Patriots are better than the Texans now if Cam Newton is healthy, or it's going to be a lot tougher to beat the New England Patriots. And that's the big takeaway here. That's how this all started, because I'm looking at the Texans 2020 schedule here, and just that one guy on that one team, and it does matter that it's the Patriots that Cam Newton went to, changes the complexion of the entire schedule. I mean, look at the quarterbacks the Texans are facing this year. I don't remember anything quite like this. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, and now you throw Cam Newton into the mix. Kirk Cousins is no slouch. This is going to be a tough sled going through some of these quarterbacks. That's not even to mention Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers twice, and Ryan Tannehill twice, who's had the third best quarterback rating in the entire NFL last season. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting. And I know that it's kind of an unknown when it comes to Cam Newton and how Josh McDaniels, how the Patriots are going to use him in that offense. I think it needs to be mentioned too. We don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to look like without DeAndre Hopkins. You hope that he's going to spread the rock out more. You hope that this receiving core that is deep from 1 to 4 is going to be able to spread the love, and you're not going to be as dependent on DeAndre Hopkins, but he's been an important part of what Deshaun Watson's done. And we like what Deshaun Watson's done in his short couple of years. How much different is it going to be for Deshaun Watson going out there without DeAndre Hopkins? And is he going to be able to get on the same page with those new pieces? There's a lot of things to keep in mind, but the one thing that we do know, whether you feel like the Texans are better than the Patriots or the Patriots are better than the Texans, the 2020 season, specifically in November, when the Patriots returned to NRG where they took that L last year, that game became a lot more interesting yesterday. A
lot more interesting. Somebody did text, "Hey, guys, are you forgetting that Deshaun Watson versus a healthy Tom Brady? Watson won." Tom Brady was...
He's 40, dude.
He had the same quarterback rating last year as Jameis Winston. To the decimal point.
I mean, do you know...
To the exact point.
I mean, he's 40, bro. He's over 40. What does that got to do with anything? Very confused. Yeah, he was not very... Tom Brady was not Tom Brady last year, and now he's leading workouts and quoting Winston Churchill or whatever the hell that was. That was an interesting look for Tom Brady. We'll take some calls on this. 713-572-4610. Has John Lopez lost his damn mind putting the Patriots ahead of the Texans? Plus, we're going to finish strong with the hits. We'll hear from Deshaun Watson. We'll take a trip to New York, and we'll hear about the latest on Jadeveon Clowney finishing strong before we pass it off to Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Okay, Cam, I see you. Oh, my goodness. Can New England win the Super Bowl again? I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, Deshaun Watson. I don't know, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. But I love it.
He loves it. Cam Newton to New England. John Lopez says healthy Cam Newton means Patriots better than the Texans in 2020. Got a lot of people fired up. Let's hear from the people. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole and you are a contributor to this show. We're going to go to the phone lines, jump right into it. Don't ask us how we're doing because we're lovely when we're here with you. Let's start with Derwin. Derwin, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, look, we already know what Watson is like without D-Hop. Losing D-Hop was like losing a family member. Man, I hurt so bad when I heard that news. But check it out. Look up Watson's rookie highlights, and D-Hop is only in about 25% of those highlights. He came out of the box averaging 35 points plus a game. He put up 50 on the Titans, and it wasn't until after he got injured and he came back and we went back to the normal game plan of the Houston Texans, which is either force it to D-Hop or force it to Andre Johnson. And when we went back to that, everybody knew it. But people are saying that, like, Cam Newton is going to make the New England Patriots so much better. They weren't better with Tom Brady last year. Until they start putting in some weapons at the wide receiver, they went and they spent so much time on getting Antonio Brown. They went out and they tried to take a hopper on my guy that's in rehab all the time. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Josh Gordon. Like, they have been playing with all of these different weapons, and they just don't have them. And Bill Belichick's a genius, but he couldn't get it done with Brady and that crew last year. And we dominated that game last year. But if you look at what we got in Deshaun Watson when he first came out and he was averaging 35 points a game, people like Ellington, people like it was all over. And if you look at some of his biggest highlights,
did you watch Deshaun's last start? Nuke had 11 catches and 224 yards.
That's why I started with losing D-Hop was like losing a family member. You'll never get me to say that losing D-Hop was a good thing. But what I'm saying is, it is what it is, and where we are today, I'm not really ready to say that this offense is going to be bad with the weapons that it has. coming out. I mean, it's down to the weapons that he has. And that's all I'm saying. Like, you know, is Belichick better than and Bill O'Brien? Yeah, y'all know he is. Y'all know Bill. But I'm telling y'all, this is not – Bill O'Brien did not get this much power just by circumstance. All of this time when they try to get him to force him to start Savage over Watts, all of this stuff that's been going on in the organization, Cal finally said it was enough, and that's why he has the power that he has.
I appreciate you, Derwin. I mean, I don't.
Nobody know. Said that the yeah. I nobody said that the Texans' offense isn't going to be good.
Yeah,
and there's a little bit of a little bit of revisionist history there.
I mean, D-Hop. I mean, 224 yards against Seattle. That seems pretty good to me. I'm not sure though. 107 against Tennessee that first year. Three touchdown game against the Chiefs. I would say DeAndre Hopkins was a little bit of a part of Deshaun's first year. Man, I don't know. And
if you think the Texans dominated, they dominated early. But
appreciate
that was
you,
a 28-22 game.
Man, Derwin. Man, he's I think he's tripping there, but we will see. Let's go to Tanner. Tanner, you're on In the Loop. J-Lo says Patriots over Texans. Has he lost his damn mind?
You know, J-Lo's a smart guy. He hasn't lost his mind. He's just wrong on this. Two reasons why. Y'all coordinators putting talent in place. Josh McDaniels has not been successful out the friendly confines of Mr. Tom Brady. One, two, Cam, the way he throws the football, him as a thrower of the football, Cam is not very good between 7 to 15. That's about all their skill positions can do right now. They have a very – Cam had way more talent working with in Carolina, actually, believe it or not, than the way they're set up now. And then the third point of this, defensive football is very hard to consistently stay at an elite clip at. You already saw the arbitrage at the end of the year this year with New England. Look at what happened with Jacksonville 3 years ago. It is not a guaranteed year-over-year thing. Passing attack and protecting the quarterback – that is pretty consistent. The Texans are going to be good at both of those. New England's going to take a step back naturally on defense because they're going to have some more turnovers. They're going to have a little more field flipping because Tom, even though they weren't tearing it up last year, he still held on to the ball. And they're not going three and out as much. And just the natural step back from an all-time defense to a top-10 defense combined with Cam really having to learn and fit in and McDaniels never having anything close to deal with this type of situation leads New England back to about a 9-7 clip, I think.
Okay, I appreciate you,
I don't know what the – appreciate it. I don't know where
what is
the
it? How much better? How much worse is 9-7 than what we think the Texans will be, though?
Exactly. But here's the other thing. I want to get to that. But what's the Josh McDaniel sample size on life without – Tom Brady.
I mean,
as an offensive coordinator.
As an offensive coordinator. I mean,
you can't say that. You don't know. I mean, there hasn't been.
I mean,
he beat the Texans with Jacoby Brissett.
There was that. I mean,
you know, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's all right. I don't know, man.
And I don't really think they. I'm sorry. I don't think they really want Cam Newton to be slinging it all over the place. That's not what he's there for.
I think this is the tier, though. I think we're in the right tier, regardless of where how you feel or where you sit on this debate. I think a lot of Texans fans that are getting fired up about this, and I understand, and I love it because that means we're closer to the season. We could use more sports arguments. I mean, when you said this, one of the most petty sports arguments I've ever seen in a long time that would normally rub me the wrong way, I was excited to see it on my timeline. But we're 73 days away. But I do think that, and I don't know if this is alarming. I don't know if this is no duh Landry, like no ish Sherlock type stuff. But I do think we're in the right tier. Like, you know, you talk about taking the next step and you've talked AFC championship or bust, John. I think it's becoming very apparent that the Texans, as it sits right now, and again, it's a year-to-year league and a lot can change and there's all kinds of stuff that can happen in the NFL. But they're nowhere close to where Baltimore and Kansas City is. So we can talk about a 24-0 lead against the Chiefs. They're nowhere close, and they've lost two of their most important pieces in DeAndre Hopkins and DJ Reader. They're closer, the Texans right now, to Lamar Jackson. And I mean, they're closer to Cam Newton and the New England Patriots than they are the two teams that they're going to be facing the first 2 weeks of the year. I think that's extremely telling, and it might be enlightening if we combine this with what you were saying Friday in the AFC championship or bust mindset for the Texans.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on that. And I just like the fact that it's close now, you know, in terms of the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and Cam Newton and that defense. There was a time when the Texans couldn't even, no matter who was the quarterback in New England, couldn't even, sniff being in the same league. And now people are saying, well, they're better than the Patriots. I'm like, okay, I don't think so, but I'm glad that the Texans are in that conversation, and there's one reason they're in it, and that's because of Deshaun Watson. So, that guy makes a world of difference, man.
And speaking of Deshaun Watson, he spoke for the first time in a while on the Ringer podcast earlier this weekend or over the weekend. He was on with Bakari Sellers, and I did not know this. I don't know why I didn't hear this, but Deshaun Watson's actually going to release a book. Here's Deshaun talking about the thrill of releasing a book the same month that he'll turn 25 in September.
Back in the day when I was in middle school, high school, if you told me I was going to, put out a book by the age of 24, 25, I would have told you, nah, not a chance. I don't even like to read. I'm not even reading the school books.
School books are the biggest scam in the world, by the way.
Well, price-wise, they are.
I mean, and then the professor wrote the book, so he makes you get it just so you can read his own thing. But
you can make some extra money. Yeah, that's just about the money, man. That's all that is.
You said this is going to be a self-help book?
Yeah, this isn't, this isn't a memoir. I mean, the guy's 25 or 20, whatever he is. His life is just getting started. I think most people will tell you that. But I would read it. I'm a lot older. I could be his dad, Deshaun Watson. But I would read it because, what makes a guy like coming from where he is, where he came from, with that kind of integrity and that kind of personality that can go into a boardroom or a locker room and be just as impressive a cat, what is it about him? I think that it's a self-help book. Don't get mistaken. Don't think this is a life story. I'm sure there's going to be some life.
I feel like I could recite the life story.
Yeah.
At this
point.
Yeah,
he could probably, the
I'm
life story.
I'm more intrigued
is just
by his self-help than life story. I know this life story. I could recite the Deshaun Watson life story, I feel like.
Right.
Here's more from Deshaun talking about, last season to this season. We know what happened. We know how the season ended. But what about how you can build on that? Here's Deshaun Watson talking about that.
I feel like it was help in being able to play 16 games and then some more. The first time we went to the playoffs, we played the Colts. That was our third or fourth time playing them. I think D-Hop was hurt. I mean, everyone was hurting. And last year, we kind of rode back against Buffalo. And then, we had a great lead in the first half versus the Chiefs, and then we just kind of went downhill from there. And it's really experience. We had a young team, but now we got a veteran squad that played a lot of football. So I feel like this year we have an opportunity to even go further.
I feel like his experience is the value. I don't know about this mm-hmm. team as far as experience, but I think just his overall experience tasting defeat is something that Deshaun Watson can maybe thrive off of. I think as far – The only experience that matters to me is the experience of number four when it comes to moving forward for the Texans.
I totally agree. I mean, look at the skill positions. I mean, none of them are back. the experience is Deshaun Watson. I mean, I know you got Will Fuller, but where was he last season? Randall Cobb wasn't here. Brandon Cooks wasn't here. David Johnson wasn't here. Duke Johnson wasn't thought of. Kenny Stills was here. The experience is absolutely Deshaun Watson.
And what is Will Fuller without DeAndre Hopkins? I think that's something else that needs to be taken into account. Yeah, I like what I see from Will as well. And I love when Will's on the field. But what is he without number 10 out there? And what is the quarterback without Nuke Hopkins? And what is the quarterback without fans? We talk about Deshaun playing when the lights are the brightest, playing his best ball. A lot of people feed off that energy. Deshaun Watson's one of those guys, and it was pretty enlightening on the Bakari Sellers podcast, courtesy of The Ringer. Deshaun Watson talking about playing without fans. Just listen to his immediate reaction when Deshaun Watson is asked about playing in front of empty stadiums next year.
That'd be tough. I've never experienced it. No. Even Pee Wee, you got the parents in the stands. You don't have nobody in the stands. That's crazy. The hard part is just the energy. Just like, damn, when we score, it's just like, it's quiet.
Look, everybody gets a boost from a home crowd. I think Deshaun Watson is one of those guys that really feeds off it even more. You know, there are certain players that just feed off the crowd even more than your average Joe, and I think Watson is one of those. It's not going to really affect his game where you can see it noticeably, but I think it's going to.
You sure?
Well, I was going to say, I think it's going to have an effect, but I don't know how noticeable.
I mean, I don't think you can underestimate the adrenaline that some of these guys get yeah. whenever they kick it up in high gear. So I don't know, John. I don't know that it could. I think it could affect his game significantly. And I think it could have the opposite impact for James Harden as the NBA begins mm-hmm. training camp, and that playoff atmosphere that we've seen him come up short in is no longer there. So I disagree with you that it won't impact him significantly. I think it's going to impact him big time if there are empty crowds, because you can just see Deshaun Watson feeding off of it.
Oh, he loves it.
The J.J. sack last year, then you had Deshaun with the long run and then the two-point conversion, and you could just kind of see it. When he goes to the sidelines, he's pumping up the crowd. He's getting ready. I don't know that it – I think it will impact Deshaun Watson significantly. I really, really do.
Cam Newton, too, speaking of which.
Cam likes it.
He feeds off of it big time.
He feeds off of it. And did you know Cam Newton is also from the same pipeline as John Lopez? This was Cam Newton – interview a couple years ago when Carolina was going to Mexico to play some football. I did not know this, but I learned something new every day. The OG and Cam Newton got something in common.
Cam, welcome to Mexico.
Glad to be here. I honestly don't know.
Is it your first time in Mexico?
It's not my first time, but I was just teasing with everybody. They asked me if I've been to Mexico. I am Mexico.
You are Mexican.
Mexican.
You're Mexican, not Mexico.
Mexican.
Okay, you're Mexican.
Yeah, a little bit of some of everything. African, Mexican, American, everything. Yeah.
Cam, we're glad to have you here, and we look forward to meet you in the field.
Go, OG.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, I guess.
Might even be related.
You never know, man.
Gosh, it's going to be weird seeing Cam in that uniform. He makes every uniform look good.
Oh, man, I hadn't even thought about it.
He makes every uniform look good, but, man, that's going to be weird.
What's
going to
be weird is him going into the interview area after Bill Belichick. From that I don't care grumpy face look and cut off sweatshirt to, the scarf on his head and, all that stuff.
Man, and you're going to have a motivated Cam Newton and a motivated Bill Belichick. What if the Patriots are just freaking awesome this year with Cam Newton?
Well, I mean, it's on the table. I mean, it's a possibility. They've got a lot of things going for them, contrary to what some of the discussions we've had here. But, it's definitely a possibility.
Man, I'm sick to my stomach even thinking about it. Because I've always liked Cam, and I don't like the Patriots, so – kind of conflicted here. And of course, Texans Patriots in the same conference, and they're facing off in November. Will be very interesting to see, to say the very, very least. It's a more interesting NFL, and the NFL business is picking up, as is previously mentioned, basketball and baseball. Astros begin spring training this week. Sean Mraz, we're going to try to get him on later on this week. Our resident Yankees fan from the Damon Amendola show and from WFAN. He's been known to talk some smack about the Astros, but now all of a sudden he's playing scared. Gerrit Cole, who the Yankees signed for $324 million, I think it would be reasonable to expect someone who signs a record-setting $324 million deal to be an ace. But apparently Mraz, just as a lot of Yankee fans have been this offseason, whether it's the cheating scandal or this, I guess the new gutless culture out there in New York is reaching an even lower low, because Mraz wants to sit Gerrit Cole out and keep him from facing another team's ace.
If you're the New York Yankees, yeah, you want Gerrit Cole out there as your prize free agent, but maybe you know you're going to lose that game to Max Scherzer, or at least think, what are my odds here if I started to knock or something in this spot? I want to hold back my ace to start game two or three and have that avoided, knowing that basically I'm going to get a win every 5 days, knowing my best pitcher is going against somebody else's second or third best pitcher.
So you want the Yankees to take a dive in game number one and set up Gerrit Cole for game number two?
Yes, and I know there's I know that that doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Go, well, what if you beat Scherzer? Now you're set up the other way. You know, if your best ace gets the second or third best starter on another team, chances are higher you're going to win that game than if it's ace versus ace.
It's pathetic.
I don't understand how his mind even went there. I got an idea. Let's throw a game here. And let's see if we can get him against non-aces.
Against Steven Strasburg. If you started him game two, that's Steven Strasburg. Good Lord. $324 million gets you scared. And I thought in today's world, $324 million got you a troll job. No, I think he's serious. I don't think Raz is that kind of guy.
I'm still
he's
convinced
serious.
This was – I know you keep saying that. I just can't believe a guy that has followed the New York Yankees has such a loser's mentality.
Well, that's what they've developed.
That's all it is. I'm not trying to be harsh. That's what it is.
The prestigious Yankees attitude went down with old Yankee Stadium. This is the new Yankees. Hypocritical,
our best can't beat
whiny.
Your best. That's what he's saying.
Well, start Tanaka. Let's see what happens. Just absolute insane, absolutely nuts from Mraz. We'll try to get him on as the Astros begin spring training. We got the Rockets kicking it up today. Season starts in 31 days. NFL business picking up. Mraz, however, I was a little bit happy to hear that he at least has a little bit of fight in him. This is him responding to my accusations of him being soft.
Our friend Landry from Houston hosts on our CBS Sports Radio affiliate there in H-Town, Sports Radio 610, and tweets, Mraz, Astros fans think you're running scared.
I'm not running scared. Think about it. These guys are only going to get 10 to 12 starts this season, these starting pitchers. I think it's actually really smart strategy to not have your A, be that one manager that doesn't have your ace start opening day and have them lined up versus all these aces over 60 games.
Are you scared of the Astros?
Scared of the no, because now they can't cheat. So why would I be scared of them? They have not won anything where they have not been able to cheat. So nobody should be scared of the Astros at all. Absolutely not.
All right, that's the Mraz I know. Thank you very much. Showing some dignity.
All right,
J-Lo, it's been a good one, man. You got the internet going nuts. We'll see if John McClain. I'm intrigued to see if John McClain agrees with you. We're gonna get hot and heavy with John McClain right at 10:40. See if he agrees with your thoughts on the Texans versus Patriots. Tomorrow. Also got some exciting exercises throughout the week for the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. For all the loopholes, if you listen, you are a loophole. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. This has been In the Loop. I'm Landry Locker. Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next. The season is, I still
love you. Thank you, Figgy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.